This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Zhivago Line is sponsored by ART Heavy Equipment and Development, BTC, CJ Atlantic, the Cleft of the Rock Foundation, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Ministry of Education, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Line, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust you had a great weekend, rested yourself, and have a good start to your week. Today, we are going to have our last discussion with our folks about education, about something very relevant in the environment in which we find ourselves. We're going to talk about, in the first instance, security in our schools. And then in the second instance, we want to talk about special services, the extent to which there are children with special needs that have to be taken account of if they are going to also successfully navigate the school system. We could not have done all of last this week the way we did it without great sponsors supporting the effort. And we want to especially point to the Ministry of Education that supported as a partner with us this entire week. But we also had the effort with us, Mr. Avery Lightbond's company that has a special interest in trying to promote successful schooling, but also has a particular new product that they are also promoting and trying to get the word out about. I believe that Mr. Lightbond is with us in the studio today. Mr. Lightbond, how are you?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and good afternoon to the Bahamas.
And thank you very much for being here, for supporting and sponsoring our Successful Schooling Week. We appreciate that you appreciate how important it is to do just that.
Absolutely. Anything to help to build our nation, whatever skills and gifts that God has given me, I try to do my best to make that happen.
Well, we appreciate it very much because we think that getting our students to do the best they can do in their journey in school just makes sense for the country.
Absolutely.
Makes sense for them, makes sense for their family.
Absolutely, absolutely, I agree.
But your company, tell us your company's name so the people don't get it fully right.
Well, the name of the company is ART, A-R-T. It's an acronym for my children, Asher, which is my son, Rachel, my daughter, and Tatiana, my next daughter, my youngest.
Wow.
And so the acronym is the first letters in the names of my children. And whilst I'm on that, I'd like to also add that the T could also be for my wife, Templar, which her name is also Agatha. So she could be at the beginning and the end, you know? So you could form whatever revelation you want out of that.
There you go.
But I'm right there. I could be at the beginning, but she's at the beginning and the end.
Okay. All right.
Yes, ART. So ART is an acronym for my children.
Right. And the company does what exactly? What are your services? What are your products?
Well, the company is Heavy Equipment and Development. And I got into this business after the hurricanes in 2019. I knew that our country and the two islands that would hit would have needed a lot of assistance when it came to rebuilding. And so because I'm an entrepreneur, I always look for opportunities, whatever I could provide. There was some parts that I was soliciting prefabricated and trying to get them on the island for some temporary housing. And ART was formed during that time. And so it wasn't as successful as you wanted. It did the research, but it was a learning experience nevertheless. just recently, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, with my business partners, we found this product in Florida. And this product is actually a steel alternative that we are promoting, and give you some details on it as we go on through the show. But it's made from basalt rock, and it's a basalt reinforcement polymer, and it's 2.5 times stronger than steel, a quarter of the weight. And you could use it in your building your structures, does not rust, does not corrode. And we have products that are made out of it, building products that are made out of it. And I also have my guest, Mr. Fred Tingberg Jr., who's the chief technical officer at my supplier's company, Basonite Industries, who I get my supplies from. So he'll talk a little bit more about the technical aspect of it.
But this is really something, because steel is a significant component of the construction industry. You're building a house, you're building a building, steel is a big part of it. And you're saying that this is a product that could replace steel.
Yes, I'm saying that. And I'm going to go further, and I'm going to introduce the expert if we have Fred Tingberg on.
How you doing, Fred?
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this show, Mr. Lang.
No, you're welcome.
So really, the foresight and the credit belongs to your Ministry of Works and your Prime Minister, who elected to create a directive that green materials will be utilized in the reconstruction of your island. In fact, on August 16th, the Ministry of Works crafted an approval of basalt fiber reinforced polymer for these bars to be used directly in substitute to the steel product that not only is not as strong, not only is four times as heavy to work with and more cumbersome to transport and ship, that also had some supply chain crises associated with it. But it's not a very green material. So from a couple of standpoints, and it meets plenty of ACI codes. It has an ASTM associated with it. It's not a new product. In fact, it's been around for quite some time. However, your government has seen fit by directing to a more green model for construction to utilize products such as BFRP, basalt fiber reinforced polymer. And yes, it is a direct substitute for steel. It's a reinforcement material, though, as Avery pointed out, it's an aggregate. It's produced out of a volcanic rock. Basalt is a sustainable material, a green material. It's a product which has a lower carbon footprint, which you're going to hear more and more about as time goes on. And as your students progress through their studies, this is almost going to be the new priority. To do reduced carbon construction, something that's sustainable, something that is a more friendly material to work without sacrificing structural characteristic. And when I was over there in the process of meeting, basically, well, let me back up for a moment. ART, not only are they handling this state-of-the-art product called basalt fiber reinforced polymer, what a great group of people. These folks have what it takes to bring this technology to your island, and I'm looking very forward to supporting their efforts in distribution. However, going back to my point, the service life expectancy of a seawall on your island by, basically, these were not my words, but folks that were at this technical exchange, are 7 years. The average service life expectancy of a construction project is supposed to be 50 years, 5-0. Tell that to the folks in Surfside that suffered a collapse after 50 years. The service life expectancy of this material is 100 or more years. Mm. And it's something that should truly make an impact and truly be a game changer in your construction industry. And it's something that your government has asked for, and it's something that your Ministry of Works has allowed by virtue of this decree.
Is this product worked the same way as steel in terms of, made into rods of a sort and then used to apply to the foundation and the framing of homes or buildings, et cetera? Is that how it works?
So basically, yes. And that was a very astute, excellent question. But so Avery can offer three manifestations of this basalt rock. One is Basaflex, which is just a straight rebar. In fact, looking at the product, I don't know if he brought some samples to the studio, mm-hmm. you would assume it was rebar. You know, it looks the same, it feels the same, it handles the same, with the exception that, geez, this doesn't feel like rebar. It's too light, right? One quarter of the weight. There's also a Basa Mesh, which is a geogrid. It's a grid that you see, it's a caging material that can be used in slabs, walks, pavements, road construction. There's also a mix, which is just straight chopped fibers that could be added into the ready mix concrete, where concrete is either poured or concrete can be formed. That's for surface characteristics and reducing any kind of cracks in the concrete. So Basa Mix, which is the fibers chopped, Basa Mesh, which is the geogrid, Basa Flex, which are the rebars that, like I said before, look very much like what you're comfortable with and installed the very same way.
And that therefore reduces any learning curve for the contractor in the process, because it's not as if you have to go and relearn how to use something. You just have something that's made of a different material, a better material, as you say.
Right. Very true. Right. Very analogous, although there's always still, they'll have to relearn some tricks. They'll be able to transport more to the job site. A man will be able to take, or even a woman for that matter. Yeah. Avery's beautiful wife was lifting multiple parts at the presentation. So basically, nice. when a worker is transporting 24 bars, a full bundle of bars on his shoulder across a job site, yeah, it's going to be a little different.
And that also should impact things like shipping cost and maybe even other costs. Is that the case? Is this therefore now a cost-saving material compared to steel?
I believe you'll find it very economical. I believe you'll find it very economical bar for bar. Plus, you'll find the fact that the transportation, which is a major factor. When we transported Avery's material for distribution, his first load of stocking material, you could transport four times the count of lineal foot in terms of quantity of bar. Four times as much can get into the same container that otherwise would be transporting the steel because of a function of the weight.
Now, Fred and Avery, let me ask you all the big question. I got to ask you the big question. And I know it's implicit, even explicit, in the answers you've already given, but I want our audience to get the answer from you. So, you know, we deal with hurricanes all the time in the country, right? So people always want to know, if anything new is coming, what does it mean for hurricane protection, et cetera? You say it's four times stronger, but can people be assured that they lose nothing in the way of using this material? In fact, they gain in doing so?
So I want to make a reference. And by the way, as you all know, we all suffered a major hit here with Hurricane Ian.
Yeah,
that's
right. Condolences to the family.
I know, and I want to really, let's take a moment to offer condolences and perhaps even a prayer to all the people that were impacted and those that lost life. It was a big deal over in Fort Myers. I remember Hurricane Andrew clearly, and this was almost like a combination between Hurricane Andrew from the wind and Katrina from the water. It was just a worst case scenario, and it was horrible what happened over there.
Having come through Dorian ourselves, we understand it. And tomorrow I'm going to be dealing with that as an issue, because sometimes, because it's the United States of America, more developed and privileged place, we can be sometimes not as sensitive, but yes, some people are suffering significantly because of the storm.
Absolutely.
I just want to answer a specific question about the performance of this material in a hurricane. So we, on our website, and one of the references we use, and I didn't even realize it until I had heard the news and watched some of the coverage of the hurricane, but we have a project. In fact, over here, I don't know if you ever heard of a guy by the name of Jim Cantore, but until Jim Cantore shows up at your exit in the States, you don't even start looking for your hardware for your hurricane shutters. He's the hurricane chaser for the Weather Channel. But in any event, we had a project on Caso Cayo. Caso Cayo is an island. It's off the coast of Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. It's in Charlotte Harbor, but it's about 7 miles offshore, 4 miles out from the nearest harbor. And it's a small little, I guess you would call it a quay.
A quay, yeah. A quay, yeah.
And essentially, one of our customers, not even for the green reason, not even for the cost reason, not even for the handling reason, but because he could transport this rebar on his Boston Whaler, where he could literally load up his boat with 200 bar at a time and transport them over to the island where the construction was taking place. Think about it, a small little quay that you're going to go and do some construction. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about. In any event, he built a 3-story home. And it's on our website, and I'd be glad to share some information. I'm encouraging Avery to make it part of his site. In any event, this is a case study here that we're describing where 3 stories of basalt fiber reinforced polymer rebar was used. They were number 7s. There's a design done, you know, an engineer specifies what spacing, what bar number, the count, and so forth. It meets the code, the ACI building code, which is part of your Ministry of Works decree, by the way. You have to adhere to ACI 440, 1 through 6R, which is part of the approval in any event. So he builds this home, right? So I'm not even thinking about the home after this devastating storm. We reached out to the customer because we knew him. We developed a relationship with this man as he constructed, as he built his home with our product, right? Are you okay? Is everything good? He was in Vermont. They had vacated. There was no one that stayed on the island, because if you go back and look at the storm path, Cayo Costa was literally the tip of the spear. This is where the storm hit the United States. Right. This was like ground zero. So it comes through and it does what it does. And the roads have been knocked out. Bridges were knocked down, you name it. And so we asked, are you okay? Oh, yes, we got out. Everyone's safe. Everyone's fine. How about as far as we know, everyone on the island was able to get out of there. Well, I had to ask the question, right? Well, how about the structure? He goes, you know, it's all good. It's still standing. And I said, please, would you be kind enough to get us some photos? I'm waiting for the photos, but 155-mile-an-hour winds. There was a storm surge of 12 feet. I don't know. To be continued, but I think
the proof is in the pudding, right? the proof is in the pudding.
Yes,
well, Avery, if people want to get in touch with you about the product and getting some more information about it, how can they do that?
They can hit my number, 557-5814. They can call me directly. I answer my phone. They can go to my email at artbahamas@gmail.com. They can send me a nudge there. I get that directly, and that is answered. They can go on the website. Art Development BFRP. That's Art Development BFRP. Got it?
And the number again, the number is
557-5814. Or they can also call the landline 324-0008. 324-0008.
Yes, and once again, this is a Ministry of Works approved product, so this is something known to the technicians.
Yes,
and
yes.
Approved for construction.
Yes,
as a replacement for steel.
Yeah. So the process is an engineer, local engineer, have to look at the specs. They send the information into the Ministry of Works that would authorize the approval. So we've been working on this for a while, and I just thank the ministry and the team down there, Mr. Ferguson and his team, for just looking at this and liaising with Fred Tingberg just to make sure they got all of the information. And we just kept on top of it as much as we could. We know that the government initiative was to try to get innovative technology in building. I felt that this was a direction that we could go in as a country. And I think that it's going to catch on. Our shipment was delayed by the hurricane, but I can say as of today, that trailer is here with all of the product in it. So, Fred, thank you guys very much for making sure I keep up on top of that. And so the shipment is here, and I'm just looking forward to getting that rolling. We're located, my office is in Dugard Plaza, Suite E. That's in the back of McDonald's in Palmdale, Suite E. If you want to get an order or put an order in or come and look at the product and research, do some stuff some work seeing the product or research the product some more before you buy. Just know that product is on the ground for sale. We are ready to go. We're ready to kick this thing into our building structures.
Well, I'm going to be in touch with you, so keep your phone line open. Other than all the other people who will be calling you, I'm sure.
Yeah, they, well, guess what? We're going to have more phone lines soon. So everybody's going to get served. I just want to say I'm happy that Bahamians are looking into stuff like this, because as long as we're doing our part and putting it out there to change, we could change the world. If we do our part and we do it responsibly and correctly, I think we could change the world. We could be the model for the world to see. And I think this is one of those products that is going to be out there and that is going to be very popular. No rust, no corrosion. You don't have to worry about chopping out your wall no more with after the steel as oxidization happens and bust through the wall. So many cases of it. We could eradicate that forever by embracing these products. So just want to say hello to my family. Shout out to all my family, all my friends, all the persons that supported this venture. It's a surreal moment to be in this position, and I welcome all and sundry, the whole construction world, just to get into it, and I have all the information if they're interested.
All right, well, thank you very much, Brother Lightbound. We wish you all the best, my friend, and as I indicated, we'll be in touch. Thank you, Fred.
Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir.
Just one final thought. Remember, everybody, if you got no steel, it's no big deal.
Again, brother Lightbound, thank you for supporting our successful schooling week. Appreciate you, man. We'll be in touch.
Okay, be well. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, we're going to talk to these educators once again. I don't know when next I can get them on, so I got to talk to them this one last time today. For now, we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
Come take my hand, walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
You just got bumped up. Bundled fiber customers enjoy up to 3x the speed increase for free. That means if you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, or the Extreme 100 TV Max bundle, or even the Extreme 150 Plus Talk 24/7 Plus TV Max bundle, your internet speed just went to 300 megabits per second. Nothing to do, just keep doing you.
COVID-19 is in our rearview mirror as schools are open with full face-to-face instruction. The Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training reminds students that safety protocols are still in place. Wear your mask, covering your mouth and nose. Sanitize your hands regularly. Keep a distance of at least 3 feet from others. Parents, your role is vital in keeping children safe and ready to learn.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Hey, Bill, glad to see you back in the office.
Who?
Bill.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think you're mistaking me for someone else.
Tom.
Nope.
Jack.
No.
Alex.
No. Want me to just tell you?
Nope, I got this, George.
No, you don't. Still not me.
Adam.
Not even close, man.
We're like a coworker that didn't forget your name. CG Atlantic Agents and Brokers. Good luck that.
Okay, good to see you, Mark Mike John Sean.
It's Mordecai.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Come down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. BTC wants you to know that you just got bumped up. Bundled fiber customers enjoy up to 3 times the speed increase for free. That means if you have a Extreme 100 plus Talk 24/7 bundle or Extreme 100 TV Max bundle or even the Extreme 150 plus Talk 24/7 plus TV Max bundle, your internet speed just went up to 300 megabytes per second. Nothing to do. Just keep doing you, says BTC. Okay, we have in the studio with us from Education, Anton Duncombe, Angelo Strawn, Bodine Johnson, Kirkland Charles, Christine Cunningham, Mr. Sawyer, and Sharon Clark. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It's my pleasure. Yeah, now, you guys are concerned with and work in that important area of education. And you live in the society that we live in, where nowadays we are seeing things and hearing things that obviously cause much turmoil and trouble and anxiety within the general society when it comes to safety. And then we have heard not massive amounts of incidences taking place on our campuses, but we've heard incidences of violence between students on some of the campuses. And obviously, if you're a parent, you want your child to go to school and you want to know and believe that they are safe. If you're a teacher, you want to go to school and know and believe that you are safe. If you are the spouse or the loved one of a teacher, an educator, a staff member, you want to believe and know that your family member, friend, neighbor is safe. Can we, for a moment, just talk about our school campuses? Some of you are actually on those campuses, et cetera, and talk about, what's the general state of play when it comes to the sense of safety and the safety in reality of the teachers, the staff, and students of a school? Any one of you could start me off with that.
Okay, well, this is Bodine Johnson speaking. I am, for everybody, the education officer with responsibility for multimedia. And so right now we see that our students have returned from a 2.5 year hiatus from being socialized in the school setting. Mm-hmm. And also those interactions with one another that would allow them to share a space and also to be in a place where the programs that assist with the conflict resolution as well as positive social interaction have been missing in the way that we traditionally know them. Mm-hmm. And so right now, as our kids and our students return to the classrooms, there is the uptick in the re-socialization of our students with the positive reinforcement for our social graces and those proper ways to manage ourselves inside the school environment. In addition to that, we are being refamiliarized with the students and their economic situations, their personal situations that have been compartmentalized based on the fact that many of them have been in a virtual setting for the last 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And so some of those students may have not had the opportunity to vent. They may not have had the opportunity to let somebody know, hey, this is what's happening to me. And as a result, they are now in a place where they're looking for the help that they need. And our special services division is in a space where we're refamiliarizing ourselves with those cases and just trying to reach out to the community just to make sure that our kids, our major stakeholders, have the support that they need to be able to function well enough as we transition back into a regular school environment and society at large.
Mind you, I have to tell you, I'm so grateful that you shared that, because I didn't myself think about the fact that it is possible once you get out of a socialized environment in the way they are in the in-person schooling, that it, you can lose awareness, appreciation of, sensitivity to those social graces that have to apply and that are so often emphasized when you are in an in-person school environment, and that when you come back now, you know, you're not as keen, you're not as sensitive, you're not as aware. But that is true.
Yes, it is true. In addition to that, because we've been in a virtual setting, we are also working on our content that reinforces that although you're in a virtual setting, the same social graces, they do apply. For example, when we have live feeds, live streams, because you cannot physically see the person does not feel that there's a need to moderate or filter what it is that they want to say or how they want to say it. Tone is often lost when we communicate virtually as well. And so you and I are of a particular age in a particular space. So we come from a time where we know that we have to have face-to-face conversations with people so that we can read those unsaid cues, you know, in a person's voice, or so that you can hear the tone and often de-escalate situations or clarify what it is that we mean when we say something, whether that is very matter-of-factly, because some people tend to take offense to something being a statement of fact, and it is very matter-of-fact, but it is not intended to insult. However, the person feels it as an insult. And so we have those two spaces, the virtual and the in-person space, where we have to reteach communication skills and nonverbal cues and tone, cadence, and also, again, those social graces. So we are now reminding parents, we are reminding students that even though you're in a virtual space, you can't just shoot out everything the second that it comes straight to your head, because it's not something that you would typically do in an in-person environment. And again, that requires re-socialization. And so the curriculum within itself, within English language, within literature, within mathematics, within our family life, within religious studies, within our social studies, are focused on integrating those social skills and reinforcing the way that we communicate properly in a public setting with one another. And that often takes a whole lot of skill. And our teachers have been doing an excellent job, but we also need to remember that we do need the support of the public with reinforcing those positive social interactions as well.
And we already know that when it comes to online platforms, social media platforms, it's not that necessarily that we are intending to be as blunt, as discourteous, apparently, as as some people might think we're trying to be. The fact is, though, we are, right? People speak in shorter sentences. They use acronyms. They use all kinds of things that can be distorted in terms of what they're communicating, but because it's social media. But if you make this a routine part of your socializing, it could come across to some other people as offensive and the like. And so that needs to be checked as well.
Most certainly. as somebody that you know has communicated and communicates for a living, literally, I also had to come to terms with the fact that our kids use a lot of exclamation marks. Language is changing to include the use of emojis. And now we also have the GIFs that we have to be familiar with in order for us to understand the way that our students speak to one another and to understand the implications of what is being said when they don't type something as a word, but they type it as a GIF. But when they return to the classroom setting, We still need to be aware of it, because sometimes students make reference to certain situations that they may see in popular Bahamian culture, as well as international pop culture, that can be read many different ways. The connotation of it is very interesting, to say the least. But again, our teachers are focused on knowing and being able to integrate that into the way that they teach. And I know Mr. Duncombe is one of those persons that is able to do that extremely well. He has managed to take his TikTok and just keep an eye on what the children are interested in, as well as to engage them and to turn that social media presence into a positive experience for our students. I don't know if he would want to speak a little bit on that.
Good evening, Mr. Duncombe. Yeah, yes, I can certainly agree with you. I guess that's just the young aspect of being a teacher in a 21st century schooling system. You have to be with the time. The sad reality is we have to be with the time. And in being with the time, it means it's getting as hip as possible and trying to deliver the content that we're given to teach. You know, sometimes it takes a lot more than just giving the content, but getting on the levels of building personal relationships with the students. And in building personal relationships, that gives us good rapport with our students as well. And then, of course, then having the balance of knowing when to switch. Of course, at the end of the day, we have to get respect. In order to get respect, we must give the respect to our students as well. And so I think I found a grasp and balanced, like by balancing my personality, but also incorporating in my teaching style as well. And my students, for the most part, appreciates that. I'm the envy of the campus, I can say, because the students that I don't teach are now upset with the students that I teach and saying that, Mr. Duncombe, I can't get a TikTok with you. I don't teach you. I want to do it, but it's more so for my students, you know, and teaching them lessons as well. Beyond just the trends that are out there, also giving them assignments that includes these social media outlets. So that makes it works for me as well.
And is a part of that, Mr. Duncombe, trying to ensure that when they are using these platforms, that the graces that help build relationships, reduce conflicts and the like, are practiced?
Most definitely. You know, there's a lot of trends that are out there that has profanity attached to them, you know, and sometimes I may be just going with the flow and not knowing what this exactly the students are asking me to do with them. And so I have to sometimes just study the music before I actually go ahead and go and do it. I realized myself just the other day, I almost got myself in problems getting so hip with them and not listening to the lyrics of the song. It's like, you know what? Y'all set me up. I can't post this one. This one, y'all didn't know that this have profanity in it, you know, the vulgarity of it as well. So also in wanting to just keep the their innocence in some way or the other and understanding, letting them understand that, you know, we can have fun, but let's do it in the most respectful way and keeping in the policies of the Ministry of Education as well. And then also I have to keep in mind that the policy is that we should not be recording students without the parents' consent, you know? And so these students that I wouldn't necessarily have on my social media platform, those are the parents that I have those relationships with. And they understand who I am. And I'm actually time to leave Andrus, and I'm leaving Andrus. This is my fifth year here. And they don't want me to leave. And so because of my personality and because of the things that the way that I teach, and I not only teach, but I encourage ambassadors on future citizens that are going to be holistically developed. And so definitely that's my approach.
So do you, Ms. Johnson and others, you might weigh in if you want, expect this, what could be a heightened aggression that we are seeing in some of our students wane over time as you guys, the teachers and others, re-engage these students and help them to reconnect with those graces as a part of their in-person schooling?
Okay, so I'll start. The purpose of my area, which is part of the writing unit of the learning resources section, is to be able to provide teachers with the tools that would assist them with integrating the content, but also have the students see themselves reflected culturally inside what it is that is being used in the classroom. Part of that requires us to engage with our stakeholders so that our students have an idea of what the expectations are, but also for them to develop the skills. So to answer your question, the partnerships that we form in the delivery and the creation of content that will lend itself to the learning process and the practical application of that process is important. We are looking towards these student aggressions to be lessened, but it's going to take active education. It's going to take active education on the part of the community. Some students act out because of various reasons. Some students act out because of ignorance. Oh, this is what I do at home. It's acceptable at home. And I think this should be acceptable at school. But we all know that there are things, there's a time and place for everything. So refamiliarizing them just by being able to provide videos, to be able to engage them in the process of creating their own content so that they can see how their interactions affect other people, because sometimes these things exist in a vacuum. They think of something that they do as something that affects only me at this particular point in time, or only my class, or only my school, when in fact it actually affects the entire nation. So us being able to have the students engaged in the process, to have those stakeholders provide information on the things that will happen, the results of the students' behavior, and as well as the students being knowledgeable, is something that we know over time. It's not going to be a quick fix, but we know that we have the tools, we have the skills, we're developing more tools, and we're developing more skills, and we have people that are capable through training and through experience to be able to take on this mammoth task.
Now, you know, I passed through the education system in the public school, and the extent of our multimedia, because I think it's wrong for people to suggest that we weren't multimedia, because we did have visual and audio use when we were being taught, but we know that that's been ratcheted up immensely. But I am not sure, so I'm asking, is multimedia really catching up in terms of the integration in our classrooms, or are we still basically 20, 30 years ago teaching the way we were teaching?
Okay, so I have to giggle at that question. The position I am in is a new position. I've been here 9 months.
Okay.
The seat I sit in along with my colleague was developed as a result of the pandemic to provide the training, as well as the resources that the teachers need to be able to be the most effective in the digital space. Right. We have those teachers like Mr. Duncombe who can create their own videos, who are very knowledgeable of how to teach in the online space, and who can develop their own resources to be able to use them consistently. And then we have the teachers that prefer the older method of, let me create a PowerPoint, or let me use this PowerPoint and let me adjust this, and I will just use the PowerPoint and the projector.
Or let me just write on the classroom board.
Well, now, see, there's a space in between. There's a space in between there. there's a little space in between there. So the space in between there is the one where people use, let me have the students write, because writing is still a necessary skill.
Sure. Yes.
But not copying notes out of the book for the entire 40-minute period, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what we would like to see, and I know some people, I know Mr. Duncombe and quite possibly Miss Clark may just put their eyebrow up at this, and maybe some people that are listening, but the learning management system within itself, which is a multimedia space, it allows the students to have access to the lessons that the teachers have taught, plus the content is there for them to access, in addition to them having automatically graded self-paced assignments that automatically show up in the teacher's grade books. Mm. That's all a form of educational management, but also media. The implication of that is that students anywhere in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas would be able, if they are missing from a class for whatever reason, if they have a comorbidity, if they are sick, if they are in the hospital and cannot physically come into the school, but they are assigned to a particular class, they would have access to these resources. And so they're able to download it, they're able to watch the video, they're able to do the assignments, they're still able to get a grade, and they're able to get their points for their participation in the lesson. Now, is it perfect? No. Does everybody know how to use it well? I'm going to say no. Do we need more training? Yes. And that's why I'm saying, with our office, We're trying to make those teachers that are more comfortable with basically what we call chalk and talk, and more comfortable with, let me put this up on the projector and let me teach in a lecture style. We want to equip them with the skills to feel more comfortable with using media in the classroom to be able to deliver that lesson. Okay. And for those teachers that know how to use it, but want to improve their skills, they want to also have their students be able to recreate their own lessons and provide their contributions and engage them, we have the ability to teach and to train them. Okay. And that benefits us significantly.
Mr. Sawyer, I see you had your hands raised and then you'd put it down.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Sydney Sawyer here. So to your question, Mr. Lang, about whether or not we're 30 or 40.
Sorry, Mr. Sawyer, where are you? Where are you at?
I work at R.M. Bailey. I'm a social science teacher at R.M. Bailey.
Great, super, thanks.
So as it relates to your question about whether or not we are 30, 40 years behind, I think that the pandemic has kind of had an oxymoronic approach for us, because we've had some good things, we've also had some bad things. But if it's one thing that the pandemic has taught us, is that a lot of things that we were doing, like the chalk and talk and the PowerPoint presentation and copy what's on the board, we realize that we don't have to do it that way. There are a variety of media that we can use to make learning a little bit more exciting and engaging for our students. So for instance, I don't always make my students write notes in class anymore. I would say, I stand and teach, and we have our discussions. We make the content lively and provocative, as Darrell Miller would say, to engage them. And then I say, you don't have to write your notes, but the PowerPoint will be posted, because obviously they still need something to study from. Or I would record a video, post it to YouTube, and you all can pause and watch and learn as you so desire. So the pandemic has taught us that we don't have to do things the way that we were. Though some of the things that we were using or were doing, they're still very much applicable.
You know, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Duncan, we'll get back to you, but I just find multimedia so fascinating for this generation of people who are just really operating in that environment. I mean, these kids are walking around, some of them with Oculus on their head, getting 3D interactions, things. And so, for instance, when I have a topic I want to teach my son, like, rather than go and be imposing about it, I would say to him, you know, I have something I want you to sit down and watch with me. And I would just put the YouTube thing on, because it's audio, it's visual, it's often got lots of dynamic, this and the next thing. And then I might have a discussion with him later on about it. But I just find that it's so much more impactful for this generation.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is.
Very much is.
Yes, it certainly is. And being able to provide them, see, what you do, or what you've given an example of, is parenting done well, engaged parenting in the educational process, because it goes beyond the curriculum and it goes into the lived experiences of our students. And that parental interaction is incredibly important. So what you've done is you've not necessarily tricked your child, but you've engaged them in the learning process and you've piqued their interest in whatever it is. Even if they say, Daddy, this is boring, I don't, but the quality time is what matters. And I think that's what a lot of our kids are missing now.
Yeah. And we're gonna go to a news break in a second, and we'll come back after the news break and continue our discussion. But you know, one of the things I want you all to think about on the other side of the break is, you know, we often think of multimedia as virtual, but the truth of the matter is life is multimedia. And so the extent to which we are teaching through our interaction with real life is a multimedia experience and learning for children too. And we could talk about that on the way back from the news break. You're listening to Z Live, folks. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break with our guest from the Ministry of Education.
Come take my hand. This road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we are speaking with a team from the Ministry of Education. This is the last show in our successful schooling shows. I thoroughly learned a lot and enjoyed talking with these people. You know, when you talk with people in education, you expect to get educated conversation, and I certainly did get that, and I heard from lots of our listeners about the same thing, and I want to thank you all from education. Before we turn to the special services folks in the psychological, I suppose, division, and that, I just wanted to made this point before we went to the break, that life is multimedia, and these virtual platforms are trying to mimic life. So one of the things that and special services, yes, sir, one of the things that I try to do is, you know, children don't like to be preached at. They don't like to be always bombarded with doing this and do that, the next thing, in terms of criticisms of the way they behave, etc. So I've learned to use the multimedia of life to integrate some of the lessons that I'm trying to learn. So for instance, I'm trying to increase my son's work ethic. And so I don't say anything to him. I don't give him any lectures before. I just take him outside with me and say, you know what? We need to move all of this stuff from the back of the shed and put it over there so that the sanitation people could pick it up. And so you do that portion of it, and I can do this portion. And this is going to take us about, I don't tell him this, it's going to take us about 2 hours, and I'm just watching his attitude and so forth as he does that work. But he's doing this in a real life, hearing, seeing, feeling environment. And I think life is multimedia, isn't it, Ms. Johnson?
It most certainly is. It most certainly is. And in addition to that, we have to remember that life is culture, and every person's experience, especially as a Bahamian, is different. And so we have now so many persons that are living and sharing those experiences from all walks of life that are, I don't want to say redefining, but are, that are contributing to this very rich pot, this very rich and complex pot that is just continuing to simmer, and we continue to enjoy and share with one another.
special services is in the house. Special services, first of all, please tell us what special services is. And I'm going to ask Ms. Clark, Sharon Clark, who's the Acting Assistant Director of Education, Special Services Section. Tell us what that is all about, ma'am. Not sure we're hearing you. Some might be with your mic. We're not hearing you. Someone else in special services whose mic might be working. Can you help us? I can't hear Ms. Clark.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. All right. All right. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang, again. And good afternoon to my colleagues and to your listening audience. And it is certainly a pleasure for us to be here. And we really embrace these opportunities to tell the general public what special services is about. Special services is about, because usually when people hear that name, unfortunately, sometimes they think, oh, they're the people who, something's wrong with them, not just the students, right? But the only thing wrong with us is our love our love for advocating for our students and our parents with students who learn differently, students who access the curriculum differently. So therefore, we need systems in place. We need areas that will address those differences. And those areas would include speech therapy, school psychology, school attendance, or truancy, as a lot of Bahamians refer to it as, special education, and of course, we can't forget guidance and counseling, those of which you had on a few weeks ago. And what am I talking about when I say access the curriculum differently? Well, we look at children holistically. We look at learning holistically. And our job in special services is to ensure that if Johnny or if Alfred can't access the same things that you were speaking about a while ago, the multimedia approach, it is our job to determine why is it that he or she can't access. What is it preventing his access? Is it because he has a learning challenge? Is it because he has a social adjustment challenge? Is it because he has a behavioral challenge? Because, you know, we can't bury our heads in the sand in the Bahamas any longer. We know that we have children coming from all different backgrounds who come with a lot of things on their plates in the morning. And it is our job in special services, when we know about them, to determine what are those things on their plates that mitigate or that are preventing him or her from accessing the curriculum. And of course, we like to say now the big elephant in the room currently would be, people might say, well, what does attending school have to do with children learning? Like our director says, if you don't attend school, then you can't learn. So of course they have to be in school. And so our five areas, those are the areas that are responsible for determining these things and then making the kinds of decisions that need to be made through diagnosing the problems where we can most of the time, unless we need to send them out to another authority or another specialist, and then coming up with the action plan, not just diagnosing and determining why learning isn't taking place, but coming up with the action plan, again, which is all inclusive, or we try to be, what it is that mommy needs to do at home, grammy needs to do at home, what is it that the teacher needs to do in the classroom, what is it that even the administrators need to do when they see a child acting up, you know, and the first line of defense is not to put them out of the class, but that's what our specialists here, the psychologists and the guidance counselors in special services, would give the important stakeholders the advice on exactly how to handle that child.
When a student exhibits maybe a physical, mental, emotional, intellectual, environmental, social limitation in accessing the curriculum in the ordinary, normal way that is intended, it becomes a very, to my mind, I'm thinking it becomes a kind of complex thing now, both to detect and to assess and then to remedy, isn't it? Because now you have the parent, the teacher, the administrator, the home environment, all now have to be participants in trying to rectify this problem.
Yes, yes. And Mr. Lang, that's what we like to do. We don't want to focus on silos or individuals dealing with the problem because we know that child didn't get to be 5 or 7 or 16 as an individual doing it by him or herself or his parent by themselves, but rather to pull in all of those persons who were instrumental and who had some say or who made some impact on that child's growth and development. And we're not leaving out our public, our private school students, and we're not leaving out private sector, because we'd really be misled to think that we could do it in public institutions all by ourselves. So,
I know as a parent, when you hear your child is not performing, you hear your child, something's wrong with your child. I've had occasions where principals have said to me, you know, we're worried or concerned about this child and so forth, right? Yes. Your normal reaction to that is defensiveness in the first instance, because everybody wants to think their child is a normal child, right? and okay, this reaction. But then, you know, that gives way sometimes to fear and shame or concern, and right? Do you find that you have to deal with these kinds of reactions from parents and guardians when you have to say, listen, we have an issue here and we need to address it?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Langway, the volume went down for some reason. Yes, we certainly do still experience that in the 21st century where we have a lot of denial and we have a lot of fear. But rather than me monopolizing the conversation, because I have so many talented officers here,
please.
I'm going to invite school psychology and special ed to just chime in, please.
Please, sure.
Hello.
Good afternoon. This is School Psychological Services, school psychologist Antoinette Lewis DeVoe.
Okay, you're a little low. I don't know why, so you might want to turn up your volume. Go ahead.
Okay. So yes, we do have the challenges of some parents, not all. Some parents still, what do they call it? They're in that denial state and don't want to think of their child being any different from any other children, especially they have other siblings or relatives and they comparing them to them. However, we try to soothe them in the sense to understand that the whole idea isn't to put a label on the child per se, but to give them the necessary intervention that is needed to help them to survive or to become a productive citizen despite their limitation. And so it's not to say, oh, my child can't do this or unable to do this or can't. No, it may take them a little longer, but they can still get it. They are still able to survive no matter whatever their situation or diagnosis or disability may be. And that is something we try to sensitize parents in understanding. It is not a death sentence, like I say. It's not a death sentence.
Mm.
It's just that you need to understand what is going on so you could better equip your child to receiving the necessary services and
right.
Putting the intervention in place so that they could succeed in this global society.
Because at the end of the day, the idea is to maximize their potential within the confines of the challenges that they have. And what you're saying is we don't want to throw you out of the system. We want to help you maximize the system, given that you have some peculiar circumstances you're confronting.
Right.
Exactly.
You're correct. And one of the things that we do in special ed, can you hear me?
I don't know why you sound low, but I can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay. One of the things that we also do, I'm Christine Cunningham, Special Education, the EO for Special Education. One of the things we do when we're addressing the needs of a student, after we've gotten a report from school psych, we try to find an environment which is the least restrictive environment.
Mm.
So we try to put the student in an environment that they can grow and they can learn from. Something that suits their needs, which sometimes can be very limited for what we have presently, but we try our best to put them where they can grow and get success.
Mm.
So we try to tell parents that, like DeVoe said, we're not trying to eliminate them from the system, but we're trying to get them in an atmosphere where they can grow and learn.
And I think that's very important because I know a Down syndrome child. I have known him in Grand Bahama all my life because my mother is friends and worked along with the relative of this child. And what I noticed they did was they were not unaware that he had peculiar needs and they worked with him, but they also gave him such a normalized, as normalized a set of circumstances Connecticut. Today, he is a grown man who's a Down syndrome man, but he carries himself with such professionalism, his dress and his appearance. You can see that he's doing his very best to operate within the parameters of his own challenge, his own limitations, but still as a fully functioning person. And just to look at him, all I think when I see him is, what a gentleman.
Yes.
And that's the aim, eh?
Yes. Yes. That is the aim. Yeah.
Now, I know we have some teachers in the place, and having regard to special needs students, and regard to your not so special or ordinary needs students, let's talk about classroom management for a while, because a lot of times people get in their heads, teachers, this notion, or educators, all of you, that, you know, especially in the public education system, it's a wild, wild west. We had a texter tell us the other day, I ain't sending my child to a public school because X, Y, and Z. But what is the key to successful in-class management of students so that you can get the most successful outcomes for your students, regard being added to the fact that you have so many different kinds of students in your classroom?
I just came out of the classroom lately. So one of the key things in classroom management is getting to know who your kids are and being diverse in your lessons. Not everyone is going to do the talk and chalk. Mm. Not everyone can do the videos. Mm. Some people need different methods of learning. Some kids do well with their hands. So maybe you can allow them to use drawing to express what they've learned in the class. Being differentiated is key in success in the class. You can't expect everyone to learn the same way at the same time.
Isn't that a management issue though? Because I mean, you got like a limited amount of time. Oftentimes you're dealing with 25 or 30 students and trying to pay attention to all those needs, even after you know the student. Isn't that a challenge in a single class setting?
And I think that's one of the problems we have right there. A lot of persons believe that if I'm going to differentiate my lesson, oh my goodness, this is so much work, this is so much. It's not. One, the hardest part is doing it the first time. After you've done that the first time and your student knows this is your process, it's not as hard as most teachers think it is. My psychologist friend is going to say a little something on that too.
Okay.
It all comes with your planning and the way that you as a teacher execute the lesson. Because you could.
Did we lose Ms. Cunningham? I think we lost Ms. Cunningham. Somebody else want to weigh in while we wait to get her back?
Yeah, that was Ms. Lewis DeVoe. She started to.
Yes. However, I wanted to just put in a point there. Before actually getting into the lesson in itself, we first have to build that routine. We can't get anything done without having the right classroom management, skills, and also a routine that children know that once they come to class, this is what to expect. Once you come to me, this is what we're going to do before we actually get the lesson going. We cannot teach a lesson without having that classroom management in place. You know, oftentimes, especially in bigger schools, we spend more time in getting the children settled because they're coming from another class, they're coming from lunch, they're coming from break. But once we have that routine, they know that the lesson is not going to get started until, for example, once I flick my lights, you know that means that, okay, time for us to be quiet. I raise my hand, I'm going to stand in front of the class until there's silence, I'm not going to start the lesson. So first of all, we have to create a system of routine to help the students know what to expect when you come to my class, and this is the procedures that we're going to go through.
Good afternoon again, everyone. I cannot help but agree so wholeheartedly with Mr. Dongum. In addition to having the classroom management, one of the things that my lecturer, Dr. Kathy Ann Antonio at the University of the Bahamas said to us was that the problem with novice teachers is not classroom management. It is consistency with classroom management. The fact that we put in place so many things, but we do not make sure that they continue to actually happen in our classes. So if at the beginning of the school year, you know, we're always so excited and we're very strict and everything of the sort, if we say you must line up at the beginning, you must line up outside the door, and by midterm, students are no longer lining up outside of the door. They've seen where discipline has now flown out of the window. So they need consistency and procedures in order for classes to be properly managed and things to actually take place in class. I that's something I take wholeheartedly, and my students know. So at the beginning of my class, my students always say, let's say grade 11, how do we begin our classes? Their response is, I am greatness. If one class, I do not say that, my students say, Mr. Sawyer, what happened? How come you won't say I am greatness? You didn't even start the class the right way. And they're ready to fight me because the program, the procedure that we have established is not in place. And so consistency with the management is definitely key.
In addition to that, too, just to touch on Mr. Sinka, comes on. We talk about routines, but in addition to that, Mr. Duncan, the one thing that we are forgetting too is having a proper discipline plan in place. And when we lack that discipline plan, that's when all things go haywire. Because in addition to routines, you need your rules, your rewards, your consequences. Because a lot of persons just focus on rules and possibly those consequences if you break those rules. But children look forward to those rewards as well. I am one of those who sometimes intrinsically are motivated, sometimes I'm extrinsically motivated. So if I'm getting something for doing something good, then I'm going to most likely continue doing that good behavior that is expected of me every single time.
Okay, I think
yes, I just want to say I'm so encouraged and I'm so happy to hear my colleagues speak this particular way. I'm not surprised. But I also just wanted, again, from a media perspective, to put this in here. You also have students that have needs that you have to plan to address. So when, let's say, you want to show a video, sometimes you have to make sure that the captions are in the video so that the student who may have a hearing impairment can actually read, so they don't become a distraction to other students. Then you will also need to make sure that you have the clearest audio for some of the resources that you choose while in your planning stage, so that the student that may also need some assistance with the way that they hear something, it's not distracting. And so the idea is to choose the resources that are best for the class that you manage, to organize your classroom in a way that everybody can see what it is that you're trying to display, to walk around your classroom and engage those students while you are in the process of teaching, to take an interest. And I'm not saying to go beyond what your physical, emotional, and as well as psychological limitations may have, because teachers can be very, very stressed. The job is a very taxing one. But to be able to engage with those students in spaces where they have a sense of pride and to encourage them actually helps you with your classroom management. Know the students' names. As simple as that may be, and as long as it may take, if you know the students' names and you're able to call them by name, what you end up doing is when you're able to call a student by name, they know that they are identified, and you also show them that you see them and that you recognize them. And finally, being able to have them to be a part of their learning process. Teach students how to teach students. For example, I have, as a religious studies teacher that moved into the language arts, I often had to teach the students how to teach the students, which would require me to teach some of my my faster learners or the ones that communicate so well, what needs to be taught. And then, listen, I don't mind how you say it to the student, but these particular elements need to be there for them to understand it. Have them write their poem, have them do their skits, give them that type of, the word I'm looking for is actually agency, that agency and that autonomy to engage as well as present information that they know. Because I can tell you one thing, you find the leaders in your class when you give them the opportunity to show the autonomy. You find the presenters in your class when you say, listen, y'all have 5 minutes to do this. I'd like to see this particularly done. And finally, also collaborate with your fellow teachers. Collaborate. There's no reason why resources should only be coming from one person or you should be recreating a million resources. If somebody is the one that tapes the video or edits the video, somebody else write the script. Somebody else put together the digital elements. Somebody else do the transcriptions or the closed captioning. And then you provide that and you duplicate that for all of the classes that are at the same level. So that student who is quite possibly ahead, you give them additional information and you assign them a task. The student that is behind, you provide a scaled down form of the same information. And this is the differentiated instruction that I think E.O. Cunningham had started to speak about, or Ms. Clark had started to speak about. All of these accommodations help you with your classroom management.
Okay, we got lots of hands up, but I'm going to take Mr. Sawyer, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back to Ms. Clark and Cunningham. Go ahead, Mr. Sawyer, because your hands up for a long while.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My hand was actually up from the last time. So sorry.
Okay. All right, great. No problem. Okay, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Lang, your host. When we come back, we're going to hear from our educators in the Ministry of Education on this our last successful schooling show. We're talking about today in-class management, and you can talk about exam preparations and all that kind of stuff in a little while. We've been talking about special services. We'll be back after this break.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
COVID-19 is in our rearview mirror as schools are open with full face-to-face instruction. The Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training reminds students that safety protocols are still in place. Wear your mask, covering your mouth and nose. Sanitize your hands regularly. Keep a distance of at least 3 feet from others. Parents, your role is vital in keeping children safe and ready to learn.
No steal, no big deal. You've been waiting for it, and now it's here. Art Development, the number one provider of basalt fiber products. No steal, no big deal. Use Art basalt fiber products in your next building project. A quarter of the weight and 2.5 times stronger than steel. If you're getting ready to build and want your structure to last more than 50 years, say goodbye to rust and corrosion for a lifetime. Call Art Development today at 324-0008 or 557-5814. Visit our website at www.artdevelopmentbfrp.com. It's here in the Bahamas. Basalt fiber reinforced rebar. No steel, no big deal.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Rolang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful. So glad that you could be with us. Don't forget that BTC bundle customers, you just got a free speed bump. That's right. The fastest and most reliable fiber internet in the Bahamas is now up to 3 times faster for free. Here's how we're bumping up your current speeds. A, if you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, your speeds are going from 100 megabytes per second to 300 megabytes per second. If you have the Extreme 100 Plus TV Max bundle, you're going from 100 megabytes per second to 300 megabytes per second. And if you have the Extreme 150 Plus Talk 24/7 Plus TV Max bundle, you're going from 150 megabytes per second to 300 megabytes per second. Nothing to do, just keep doing you. I'm here with a team from the Ministry of Education, and we're talking about that important task that teachers have to basically keep students focused and attentive in their classroom to the lessons. I think, Ms. Cunningham, was it you who wanted to make a point before we were going to the break? No? Okay. Ms. Clark, yeah, I think, yes, Ms. Clark.
Yeah, I see. Oh, dear. Mr. Lang, sorry about that, listening audience. We seem to have an emergency in
Ministry of Education. Attendee your emergency, ma'am.
Yes, because Ms. Cunningham probably left us her office.
Yeah. Thank you very much. You do what you have to do. Be safe.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So again, I remember sitting in a classroom, and I think you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the most potent thing a teacher could do was keep my attention.
It's not a drill, come out the building.
Now, Ms. Cunningham, so the most important thing that a teacher could do was, producer, you may want to mute Ms. Cunningham, because she has to deal with that emergency, and she may not be aware that her mic is open. All right, producer, because you got to control the mic there. But was to keep my attention, not by, you know, these days people feel like you got to do hooplas and somersaults and all this kind of stuff to keep kids' attention. But in some ways, the way they kept my attention was if they saw that it wasn't there, they'd say, Shivago, what do you think about this? Or they'd say, call somebody else's name. What do you think about that? Or they would walk over to me while they were teaching the lesson, put their hand on my shoulder. Am I correct about that? That keeping that attention is paramount?
Definitely.
You better.
I had a teacher in high school, and I always remember she said that she was obligated to look each one of us in the eye at least once during the lesson. And I've actually lived by that since. I always try to see every student. That's why I stand by my door. Like when I'm starting my class, the students don't just enter my class. I kind of bring them in the class. So I stand at the door as they enter and I see each one. That kind of sets the tone too for the lesson. So they could kind of tell, is Mr. Sawyer in a good mood to be kaka and kiki and all that? Or is he in the mood where he about to put this essay on the board? And if you open your mouth in this class, it's gonna get real. So you have to look at your students in order to manage them as well, and in order to establish relationship. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Most certainly.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. And with a lot of our students on social media, many of whom shouldn't have social media because the age limit is there. Mm. But just being able to have a little peeky peek into what they're interested in, what they celebrate. I just saw, for example, one of the banes of my existence, Maliko Davis. He's in Camp Road and he's a boxer. Mm-hmm. And he's training with Meacham Major, who used to train me. And so we were able to bond over boxing. one or two other students, they want to be performers. So you provide them little bits of insight and then give them the opportunity to do that. That's how you keep their attention. You show that you know what's happening with them and you care about what's happening with them. Even if it's not something that you're interested in intimately, you can direct them to resources that show that you are invested in their whole development. And that's important for our kids.
Now, one of the things that you are not so much in control of, but need the support and help with, is what these children do when they go home. So there's homework you do at home, there are assignments you do at home, and there are exam preparations that you do at home. And this is a lot of this is on the parent, on the guardian, on the student. What do you say to parents? What do you say to students? What do you say to these guardians? Maximize the home time in order to get the most productivity and success in schooling, because you're not there, they are there.
Okay, so the first thing I would like to say to parents and students is that let's get rid of this notion that there's no, that the teacher didn't give you any homework today. All right, there's always homework. Oh, all right, so as simple as reviewing those.
Mr. Childs, please stop. Every day my son come home, I ask the boys, he got any homework today? He say no, some days.
Tell him, stop it.
There is always homework.
He's in trouble. He's in trouble.
Okay, so as simple as reviewing those notes, that is homework, is you're reinforcing what has been taught in the classroom just a few moments ago. That is very, very important for us, because too many times our students don't open up those books until the next time for class. So, for example, my upper nine, I see them Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that's every other day. So if I don't give a set assignment for them to bring back to me that Wednesday or that Friday when they come to me, that means that book is not going to open back up until time for that class, and that's a problem. That is a serious problem, parents. So they must review the information that has been given to them. What I have done in my classroom starting this week. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So you approve of, I just call you in and I tell you, bring me the textbooks. Let's check the notes.
Exactly. So that's something I just was about to say just now, is that what I have done in my classroom starting this week is that the notes that we would have looked at in our text, that information, you are expected to write that in your notebooks, that is a form of revision. Because that's the only way we're gonna get our students to actually be able or actually do something outside of the classroom. Mm. So that's something that I've said personally within my classroom.
Okay. Anything else, folks? What should parents, students be doing?
Well, at home, certainly. Yes. Again, the pandemic has taught us that there are things for us to do, there are ways for us to engage both parent and student. And so I can only speak for high school. Parents, ensure, first of all, that our children, when they're on their devices, I'm not saying take their phones until every afternoon, I'm not, because children need socialization. But you want to make sure that they are at some point in time going on the LMS to look at what has been posted, or even just watching videos on YouTube, right? Because like Mr. Childs, my students, like I said, we don't write notes all the time. But your notes are great in my class. You're not allowed to not write my notes. Like, there are a lot of things you have options for, but that is not one of the options. So I encourage parents to ensure that their children are writing notes, first of all. Like, go through your children's book. You may be able to learn something as a parent. And listen to your children. So my sister, she goes to my school now. And whenever she has learned something in, say, hospitality, I've never done hospitality, but she's eager to come home and tell us about the things that she learned in class and teach. That helps the student to make sense of what they're learning. And like Ms. Johnson called it, a lived experience. It helps them to make sense of the learning. It makes the connection. So parents, encourage the connection between your children's learning at school and what they're doing at home. And students, talk to your parents. Run them raggy. I talk in high school, primary school, preschool. Yeah, preschool already is to that. Whatever you learn, go home and tell them what you learned. Tell mommy what you learned today. Tell daddy what you learned today. Trust me, it makes conversation, makes for better learning.
You know, I did an exercise. I saw you see you, Ms. Johnson, and get to you in a minute. I did an exercise with my son last night because these schools make you go to the bookstore. You pay hundreds of dollars for these textbooks. I put the textbooks away. I noticed the textbooks ain't moved yet. So I asked him, I said, well, when do you use these textbooks? He didn't have an answer for me. I said, and so what's your schedule for school classes? He says, I don't have it. I said, I tell you what, you're going to take every single one of these textbooks to school today, everyone, and you're going to take them to school every day until you get your schedule, because since you don't know what your schedule is, I assume you're going to need all of them. And then you have some questions for your teachers for me. When are you using the textbook? Blah, 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 blah. Where's your schedule? And so forth and so forth. I also, when I check notes, I'm checking for handwriting, I'm checking for bad spelling, I'm checking for bad grammar, I'm checking for poor, nasty writing, clumsy.
Yes.
All of those.
I'm loving it all.
I'm telling this boy, listen, you don't have clear notes. What are you going to study?
Yes, sir. Oh, Lord. Glory.
Mr. Langer, we have to realize now, in the 21st century, we have children that are growing children as well. You are old school, and that's the way that it should be done. The sad reality is we have children growing children. And so because we have children growing children, that's the reality that we're faced with. We can talk as much as we want to talk, but they have to understand that it's now time to take responsibility in being parents, and just being parents, not trying to be the child's friend. First of all, not being the child's friend, but being the child's parent. So that's where that comes into play as well.
And you're right. And it's you have to be an adult and be intentional about the reality of this child's education. So for me, that starts with preparation for school. I don't leave preparation to school for chance. I'm asking you the night before, okay, I didn't wash and clean the stuff. Where's your school uniforms? Where are your socks? What shoes are you wearing? Where are your books, notebooks? What do you, blah, 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 because I want you to get in your head that tomorrow is school. And for kids who can do it, I live by a philosophy. Don't do for children anything they could do for themselves. So if you're old enough to iron, you can iron your school shirt and pants, because that's part of understanding you have to have a vested interest in your schooling for me. And so I think you're right. This, you have to be an adult and a parent and be intentional about that engagement.
Absolutely. I am going to keep this very brief. I also want to say that we have some parents that need to come in and see the teacher in person physically. Call the school, find out when you can make an appointment to come and see the teacher so the teacher can prepare to receive you and to have a conversation with you, because you have to come there. Attend the PTA meetings and model the behavior that you would like the students to implement if they had an interaction with you on the street, because nobody wants to be disrespected. But in addition to that, I'm a teacher that used to send out emails. So at the beginning of every month, because I knew what the forecast was and the pacing guide was, I planned. And I said to teachers, I'd say to my students, I'd say to their parents in an email, this is what we're covering this month. Your child needs this book. They need 3 different colored highlighters because they're going to be writing in the book. They're going to be highlighting the notes inside the book. And these are the assignments. Your child has a grace period of 1 week to complete the assignment. It's timed. If there's an issue, please email me to let me know, because the email is a record. I don't interact with parents and students via my personal WhatsApp. There's 2 reasons for that. It allows the students to become very knowledgeable of how to use their email communications and the language for it, as well as it familiarizes our parents with the process of using, email and the platform. And it makes them aware that they should be scheduled to check for any updates that are coming directly from the teacher, and there is a physical record. And so our parents also need to understand, as Mr. Duncan would have said, as Ms. Clark would have said, as Mr. Charles would have said, that education does not just end in the classroom. We have some people that they complain, oh, there's so much homework for the child. At some points in a child's development, you have to repeat information. Yes, they can practice it, but for them to know it, you have to repeat it. Those vowel sounds, those syllables, those rules, those regulations, that writing, it is repetitious. Our kids are not getting enough practice in their own personal time to be able to function well enough and for us to actually improve what they know. They're not grasping it in enough time. And that's not a reflection on the teacher. That is a reflection on the cycle of how education is supposed to take place. Phonics and syntax and spelling and everything like that is something that needs to be practiced. Mathematics is something that needs to be practiced. And if at the primary school level, our students practice, they take their time and they practice it well enough, by the time they get to us in the high school, I'm still talking like I'm in the classroom, by the time they get to high school, it's easier to push them into a place. We have an issue with discipline. I think that's the biggest thing. We think discipline is go sit in the corner or let me spank my child. No, discipline is the process of doing things that you may not like to do, but knowing that they must be done in an effort for you to get better. You're not always going to be inspired, but in order for you to be better, in order for you to improve, in order for you to make something permanent, you have to continue to practice it and you have to be disciplined in it. We don't have enough of it.
I have some rapid fire questions for you as we have just a few more minutes left in the show. Rapid fire questions. Here they go. So I'm a student. I got to study. What's your best advice about studying for exams?
Learn the method that you are best at and use that and continue to study throughout the year. Don't cram.
Okay. Anybody else?
Make it make sense. That's my advice for studying.
Oh, that's some good piece of advice. Make it make sense to you,
Make it make sense to you and make it relate to everything else. And trust me, you will understand it.
You know, what that meant for me in the bathroom, explaining to myself the thing I just read.
When you're in the fridge and you're about to go make a sandwich, make it make sense.
All right, Mr. Duncan. Your mic is on mute, Mr. Duncan. All right. Ms. Johnson, did you have your hand up? You wanted to say something?
No, I was applauding. I was applauding my coworker.
Okay. All right. Assignments. Best way to do the best assignments.
Nike said, just do it. Just do it.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Child. Sorry.
I think it's best to tackle them just as you get them. So once the information is fresh in with you, then you're able to do that. So you're able to understand it more clearly. And it also reinforces the content as well.
And how about, this is what I stress to my son. How about you read the instruction enough times to understand what it's asking you to do?
Yes, yes, please. Please, Jesus, please.
You and your parents.
And take pride in the homework. Take pride in the book. Take pride in the folder sheet if you do it. Don't give your teacher garbage. If they wanted to mark garbage, they would have worked at Impact Waste.
Yeah, right. We know garbage bins, so let's make sure that we present everything good. I teach food nutrition, so you know we eat with our eyes first. So I always tell my kids, look at the way that I present myself. If you feel as though the work that you're presenting to me is not up to standard, then you know it's going to end up in the garbage. So you better make sure I present it properly.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about motivation to study? What's your best advice?
You are seldom going to be motivated. Just do it.
Mm. And that does work, right? Because what I find is you dive into it and you're reluctant and you're a little bored, but then all of a sudden something captures your attention. You're thinking, wow, there's a flow. Yeah, I could deal with this.
You know what, for me, when I was in school, I had to create rhymes and I had to write on the wall. I had to consistently see it. So if it took me writing posters, if it took me making it a song, if it took me drawing something, I always got in trouble because I was singing in the middle of the exam simply because that's just the way that I could study and concentrate. Do what works for you. If studying works for you in any one of those ways, let it work for you. You don't have to learn the same way everybody else learns.
Best keys to succeeding at school, period. The whole experience. Best keys.
But I believe that you have to make the best sort of everything that is handed to you. So we know that not everything is everyone's strength. So whatever you need additional help with, do not be afraid to come to your teachers. We don't bite, okay? We might get irritated sometimes, but I'm sure that if you are one of those who are always in our classes, you would know when it's the best time to approach us. If you are not, if you do not understand something, for us to break it down for you. But definitely you would want to make the best out of every situation. That's the only way you're gonna maximize anything that you do.
Any last word, anybody?
Just that. 1 minute. Just to add to what Mr. Charles say, in making education personal for you, of course, everything is not going to be understandable to you, but find that one person in the classroom that you know that you can always go to depend on that may understand better than you do. It's no shame in asking questions. And sometimes you cannot go to the teacher because of whatever reason. You may not have that relationship with the teacher, but go ahead and work with your peers as well.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Brother Soy, you want to say something?
Yes. Lastly, I just want to say that education is everyone's business. It is the business of the student, the teacher, the parent, the community, the government, and we have to do what we have to do in order to ensure that our students are learning and for the betterment of our country.
Great note to end on. Thank you so very much to all of you, our educators. Thank you for what you do for our country. Thank you for what you do for our kids and families. We appreciate you. And again, thank you for joining us on Z Live, to all our sponsors who made this happen. God bless you. Tomorrow, folks, we talk about some of these things I know you've been itching to talk about in addition to this education stuff. So again, thank you very much, Ministry of Education and all our sponsors, for participating in this successful schooling series. God bless you all. Have a great evening. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God's best life.
Take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.